In order to understand the second reading, we do have to put it into a little bit of its context, because Paul is certainly not suggesting that marriage, family, is a bad thing. Far from it. But Paul believed, especially early in his ministry, that the coming of Jesus, the second coming of Jesus, was imminent. It was going to happen at any moment. And so his idea was that because it was going to happen at any moment, keep your eye on the prize. Keep your eye focused on God, on Jesus. Because we're not going to be here much longer. So don't create situations that might lead you away from Jesus. Obviously, Jesus did not come in an imminent way, because here we are. And obviously, it was not the case that this these words of St. Paul were necessarily to be continued. So what are we to make of it? Because it seems to suggest that if you are married and you are raising a family, there's so many distractions that you can't be holy. And that is not what the church teaches. Even Paul recognized that late in his ministry, perhaps he was wrong about the timeline of Jesus returning to us. What do we believe today? Well, we believe that a husband, a wife, children exercise their very vocation by being a husband, a wife, children. That in fact, the pathway of holiness for those who are married is precisely to be married and to raise a family. That is a vocation. In fact, the Second Vatican Council said this very, very strongly. What it was trying to get at is the idea that each of us represents something bigger than ourselves. We're made in God's image and likeness. And so, for example, when you look at me as one who is celibate for the kingdom of God, you should think about the final coming and say, yes, there is some great, wonderful thing that's coming someday, whenever that happens, and we need to be ready. Our reminder is one of what we would call eschatology, or the study of the last things. So what did the Second Vatican Council say about marriage and family? It said something I think that is really, really quite beautiful. It said this: that when you look at a married couple and their family, you should be able to recognize the church. That just as Christ has his bride, the church, so too a husband has his bride, his wife. And together with their children, they form a domestic church, a house church, so to speak. That is really powerful when you think about it, that families, when we're at our best, are in fact reflections of the church, of this great community of believers who know and trust in the Lord Jesus. That is in fact the high vocation. That is in fact a wonderful witness to the power of the presence of God in our lives. How blessed we are with such a witness. Now, obviously, as Paul suggests, there are some anxieties, but I would argue, as one who's unmarried, I have anxieties too. That just as Paul is encouraging you to be focused on the prize, so too he does for me. We all need to be focused on the prize. Heaven knows that right now we are in a moment of profound anxiety. It seems like there is more than enough anxiety to sustain us for a lifetime. And the temptation can be to give in to this anxiety and fear. Now, on a very human level, we can give in to it if we say, you know, there's not much I can do about it. Anxiety and fear, depression, often is a feeling of helplessness. That simply is not true. We have two powerful mechanisms to help us in this regard. The first is a human mechanism. We know that anxiety and depression are very treatable mental illnesses, that our mental health can be profoundly improved by simply engaging in seeing someone qualified to help us. But secondly, it is the case that we also have a powerful relationship with Jesus. And lest we think that that is maybe secondary, we do know when we look at mental health statistics that people who attend a church on a regular basis, any church, not just the Catholic Church, report feeling better. It's not magic. It's that we believe in Jesus. We believe that we're created for a higher purpose, that the people around us are people that we have a special responsibility and relationship with. Jesus makes it clear as to why we can trust in him. He is one that does not speak as some talking head on the television. He is one that speaks with authority. When Jesus speaks, people's lives are changed. When Jesus speaks, it's as if, I think, he is speaking individually to each and every person who hears him speak. Jesus has a power and an authority unlike anything else we can witness or encounter. In the gospel, he speaks to unclean spirits and they obey. In our lives, Jesus opens this profound relationship to us and encourages us to invite him into our lives and to participate in his church. That a sacramental life, a life where we do celebrate the Eucharist here every Sunday and maybe more often, a life where we go to confession on a regular basis to kind of fine-tune our ability to become better and improved, not to beat ourselves up over our failures and shortcomings, our sins, but to seek the mercy and forgiveness and most especially the grace, the special help that God gives us to continue to try to focus on making our lives better. There is our life of prayer. It can be perhaps seeking out or searching out adoration or time in the presence of the Blessed Sacrament. It in fact can be a study of the Bible. I mentioned last week Father Mike Schmitz and his Bible in a Year podcast. It was for 17 or 18 days the number one podcast on iTunes. I think now it's number two. But it's wonderful. He reads sections of the Bible and helps us to understand what's going on, how it is that we see this, because the Bible is not intuitive all the time. Sometimes we need someone to help us to understand what the context is, what the background is, what this word in Hebrew might have suggested, or why this was such a powerful and profound action. The bottom line is, God wants to free us from all anxiety. And the way in which he does so is to invite us into this powerful and eternal relationship with him and his church.